For more on the dangers of lead exposure and how to protect your family, we turn now to two experts on the issue. Dr. Susan Buchanan is Clinical Associate Professor and Associate Director of the Occupational and Environmental Medicine Residency Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And Dr. Matt Davis is Head of General Pediatrics and Chief of Community Health Transformation at Lurie Children's Hospital. Earlier, he served on the Flint Water Task Force in Flint, Michigan. Dr. Buchanan, Dr. Davis, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I think a question that's top of mind for anyone in Chicago when they hear about possible lead in the water is, do I need to have my water tested? Dr. Buchanan?
I think the immediate answer probably is no, mainly because testing is difficult and it relies on different protocols that involve flushing. And what we've found is that there's a huge variability in the results of the tests, where if you flush it for 5 minutes, you get one level. If you flush for 10 minutes, you get another level. And your neighbor may have completely different levels. So the interpretation of those is really difficult. I think it's safe to assume that if you're having work on your street, on the water main, the sewer main, or having these water meters installed, that you are going to have some elevated lead levels if you have lead service lines.
Dr. Davis, this was an issue in Flint because residents were testing their water. The city was testing water as well and coming up with vastly different results. So how do residents outside, if they're not getting a line change, but they're very nervous about this, what's the best way forward?
The situation in each city has its own specific story and situation. I think in a city like Chicago, where we know that the water system is old and has a lot of lead in it, we depend on that system to deliver safe water, but it may not always be the safest we can imagine for a family, and especially for kids who are at particular risk when they're exposed to lead in terms of effects on their nervous system in particular. So there's the testing aspect, and when a family asks me, should I test the water in my home, I say, if you're concerned about it, please do go ahead and get it tested, because that peace of mind may help. But as Dr. Buchanan said, sometimes even a normal test may not tell the whole story. So there's also the part of this where we can encourage families to take appropriate and common sense steps to help protect your family from not only lead, but other possible exposures that might come through a water system, even when it's well treated.
I think it's really important to note that any physician can draw a blood lead level. So if you're concerned that you have lead from any source, you should have your children tested for lead. And we do want to emphasize that children are the ones that are most at risk here because of their developing brains. The children in Chicago should all be receiving routine blood lead levels. And that is a problem because a lot of doctors either don't know it or they're not following the CDC guidelines or the state level guidelines on who and how often children should be tested. So children should start being tested around 9 months and should be tested at least 3 times before age 2 and then annually up to age 6.
And we just want to mention, if you have concerns about your water, the city does offer free water testing kits that can be sent to your home. They also offer free water filters to anyone who has received high testing results and to MeterSafe customers who live in a single family or 2-flat home. You can register for those items at chicagowaterquality.org. Dr. Davis, remind us what lead does to the developing brain and how children are affected when they are exposed.
When lead enters the body, it goes to particular areas, and the nervous system is one of the areas that can be most affected because there's difficulty then getting the lead out of the brain and also the other parts of the nervous system, the nerves themselves. Lead also gets into bone because it's similar to calcium in terms of how the body takes it up, and that's another challenge because when lead is in bone, even if a child were to have a situation where they had less lead exposure, they might still have lead in their system because the bone is continually turning over, we say, or evolving as the child grows. The most important part here whenever we're talking about lead exposure is that water is one source, but it's probably only a minor source of lead exposure for children. And just as we have an old water supply in Chicago, we have an old housing stock here. And that old housing stock is often a source of exposure to lead paint, whether those are lead paint chips or dust that includes lead. And the dust is inside our homes. It's also outside in the dirt. And so when kids are playing outside, when kids are playing inside, it can be a good common sense effort to use a moist cloth to wipe up internal surfaces that can help pick up that dust that may include lead. And then if you're coming in from outside, try to prevent tracking that dirt inside the house by taking your shoes off at the entrance. That can help reduce the lead exposure for young children in the home as well.
Dr. Buchanan, when children are exposed to lead, what kind of health outcomes do we see as a result?
Well, the health outcomes we see at these relatively low levels are subtle, but they are provable by scientific studies of large groups of children. And what you see is that the average IQ in a group of children that has been lead poisoned is slightly lower than the average IQ in a group of children that was not lead poisoned. So we know that there are some IQ points lost. There have been some behavioral changes, general neurodevelopment, and so, like I said, they can be very subtle on an individual basis, so it's very difficult to tell a parent that your child has X problem because of the lead exposure, because these signs can be so subtle. I do think it's also important to mention that when we see the real obvious health effects, it's usually in workers that have been exposed to high levels or children who are actually eating quantities of paint chips, and that because the paint in our housing stock has been turning over the years since we no longer put lead in paint, the average lead level has come way down across society, and so that's a good thing. It's still too high among children who are exposed to deteriorating paint in older homes.
And in that higher level of lead exposure, what do we see?
Probably loss of IQ points. And those children, when they have elevated lead levels, their elevated lead levels are still probably two or three times lower than ours were when we were growing up. So I spend some of my time trying to have parents not panic too much. I made it through medical school. I joke that maybe I could have been a PhD if I hadn't had lead poisoning, but I only made it through medical school. But my lead level was probably 3 to 4 to 5 times what the typical kid's lead level is today.
Now, Dr. Davis, there are ways for parents to offset lead exposure. Talk about some of the ways they can do that.
Well, Jen, earlier you mentioned the importance of using filtered water, and Dr. Buchanan was mentioning if you're having waterline work in your house or in your neighborhood, it's a good idea to use some filters at particular specifications that we know can remove lead from the water. What's also helpful is to use an aerator on your faucet, one of those things that you screw on the actual tip of the faucet so that it catches any particles that may include lead. Whenever you may have a very young child at home, especially a child for whom you're mixing up formula from powder, it's very important to use filtered water or bottled water for those children. That's because when we mix up formula, we're mixing something that's 80% water in its final constitution, and that is a particularly large source of potential lead exposure if we know there's been recent work on the lead service lines, or if we're worried about some other lead exposure in the home, for example, somebody who works in an industrial setting with lead exposure.
That's Dr. Matt Davis. He served on the Water Task Force in Flint, Michigan. He's currently head of general pediatrics and chief of community health transformation at Lurie Children's Hospital. Also with us, Dr. Susan Buchanan, associate director of the Occupational and Environmental Medicine Residency Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. And we're talking about how adults can help offset lead exposure for kids. And Dr. Davis, as I mentioned, you spent time on the Flint Water Task Force around best practices cities can take to prevent lead poisoning of residents. What were some of the lessons you took away from that experience?
One of the lessons is that through education, like our conversation here this morning, we can help the public understand the nature of this risk. Dr. Buchanan is absolutely right that overall, through good policy, like removing lead from paint, removing lead from gasoline, we've been able to reduce the overall lead exposure in our communities. We can continue to drive toward lower and lower exposures by having this conversation and being aware of what we can do to help keep ourselves and our kids safe. What we can also do is help, I would say, enlighten but not frighten families. And so the idea here is to say, if you have a concern, there are some things you can concretely do to help reduce your anxiety level and help protect your children and your family in the meantime. The testing part of this, as we've discussed, has some challenges to it. And those are challenges that the mayor and the Department of Public Health are working on right now to try to understand how best to proceed. In the meantime, we have the reality of trying to support families here in the city. And through filters, through aerators, through common sense measures around reducing exposure to lead and paint and dust, we can help keep our kids safer.
Dr. Buchanan, I'm curious about how much the public really understands about this issue. Because as you said, Dr. Davis, you want to enlighten, not frighten. But I wonder how much people really understand about what's happening in the city around water and best practices to protect their family. What's your sense of that?
I think lead is a complex issue. You can't see it. You can't smell it. And so that can confer two things. You can either make you very frightened of it because you think it's an invisible poison, or it can make you ignore it completely. So I think there is some problem with kind of the fear level. It is definitely an issue that young children, and especially newborns that are having their water formula constituted with leaded water, should the parents should be very aware of that issue. But for healthy adults drinking from the tap water, older children, it's probably not an issue. During for this particular Tribune story, it's about water meter replacement and water main replacement for those families. I would recommend them using filters. So you asked about a level of confusion. I do think the confusion is high. It's important for public health entities to be very clear in their guidelines about what the public can do. So they're offering filters to people who have this construction going on. They instruct people to flush their lines and not to reconstitute baby bottles with the water.
Dr. Davis, at a basic level, for parents who have young children are concerned about lead poisoning or lead exposure, are there things they can do just through diet to help protect their children or offset potential exposure?
That's a great point, Jen. So we know that once children start eating solid foods, they're transitioning out of that formula-only stage if they're on formula. We know that children whose diets are low in things such as calcium and vitamin C are likely then taking up lead that they may be exposed to in their environment even more, because their body is looking for that type of substance in their diet. So one of the things we recommend is for a child who might have a lead level that's on the higher side, we review their diet and look for those opportunities to increase their calcium consumption and their vitamin C that we find in fruit juices, for example, in order to help balance out that diet in ways that are healthier and help reduce the uptake into the body when that lead is there in the environment.
That's Dr. Matt Davis. He's head of general pediatrics and chief of community health transformation at Lurie Children's Hospital. Also with us this morning, Dr. Susan Buchanan of the Occupational and Environmental Medicine Residency Program at the University of Illinois at Chicago. Thank you to you both for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.